It, we built this great big stage, and I still don't have any room up here. I know I'm a whiner and complainer. Actually, I don't have much to whine or complain about, especially after last Sunday. You people are all very wonderful and gracious, and your an expression of your love last week, and in the testimonies and such, it was indeed, it was pretty awesome. It was even neater, believe this or not, but when Donna got home from preaching in Redwood Falls last Sunday afternoon, she and I and Chris, we sat down and watched it on the computer because Mike had videotaped it all. And we video file, electronic file. So anyhow, we watched it and got a little choked up watching it. It was very nice. And then I will also tell you that the church was indeed very gracious and very generous in its gift to Donna and I, the cash gift. We'll tell you it is enough money for Donna and I to be able to go to Jason's basic training graduation in December. That was something which there was no way we could afford to do that, and now we're going to be able to go. So that's just, thank you. Jason called last night and found out he was tickled pink between Sergeant yelling at him. But it's very good, thank you. Have your Bibles? You can turn to Proverbs 19, or you can look up on the screen. Proverbs 19, verse 21. Says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we thank you that it is indeed your purpose which prevails, because Lord, I've made plans and I've seen them go awry. And I don't know all that is or could be. But Lord, your purpose is indeed perfect. And you desire nothing but the best for us. So Lord, we submit ourselves unto your purposes this day. And Lord, we seek that you would show us how we can best walk in that purpose. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we did read this book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Rick Warren is the author. I am the preacher today. The one who's talking or whose message we are, both of us are trying to put forth is that of God. Because the question that this book seeks to answer is, what on earth am I here for? And it's a question that everybody asks. Some point, sometime, sometimes once, most often if you're like me, constantly. What am I here for? What on earth am I here for? Now, we make plans. We figure this and we figure that. And we see that the plans, people just aren't with it. But it is indeed the Lord's purpose that prevails. That the Lord has a purpose. Rick Warren, when he wrote this book, he went to this book, the Bible. And not just one translation. He went to as many different translations as he could get his hands on, that he could read. Some of the translations of different languages he couldn't read, but those English and Greek and Hebrew translations, which he understood and could read, he looked at. And then he looked at the translations that were in English. And he pulled quotes out of it. He took these biblical principles that he found here. The purpose that God has for us. What are those purposes? Well, let's look at the first one. Here we go. If we're going to live in God's purpose, the first one is that we're supposed to be a magnifier of God's glory. First one that Rick put down here is that we were made to bring praise to God. We were made to worship God. To be a magnifier of His glory. That's God's purpose for us. For me, for you. Rossi Lane. They can come up here and they can play this thing and magnify God's glory. Not me. But I can get up here and I can talk. I can share with you about it. And I can stand down there and I can lift my voice and sing. And I can live my life in such a way that it is worship. Remember, worship isn't just music. It isn't just preaching. It isn't just reading the Bible. Worship is a lifestyle. It's how we're supposed to be. As we live, we're supposed to be worshiping God with every breath. And that magnifies His glory. As we seek to live following God and His purposes, that fulfills that purpose that He had for us. As we seek to bring glory to His name. See, our purpose shouldn't be to bring glory to Northbrook's name or to bring glory to Bruce's name. Or Butch's name. Raise your hand. Each one. It's not to bring your name to any. Bring glory to us. Our purpose is to bring glory to God. Now that is not what you will find if you turn on your TV on most stations. You'll find that your purpose is to glorify yourself. People, that's just not so. What are you here for? You're here to glorify God. To be a magnifier of God's glory. Second purpose that Rick came up with is to be a member of God's family. You see, it was God's intent that you and I would come into this world so that we could be part of His family. Now, that's why Donna and I had Jason, Ryan, and Chris. We wanted them to be part of our family. But God did that for each and every one of us. How many of you here have been through the Alpha course? If you have, raise your hand if you've seen some of the tapes. Okay, a few of you. Okay, you guys, you've heard this story. But Nicky Gumbel, the guy who gives the Alpha course, he likes to tell a story of a boy who was adopted. And he's in school, and the other kids, they're just teasing him mercilessly. Just picking on him. You adopted, you know. That. And he goes to, he says, well, my parents picked me. Your parents got lumped with you. That's a British saying, they stuck with you. God picked each and every one of you. He picked me. I mean, it's a pretty awesome thing. I mean, I didn't get to pick Chris or Ryan or Jason. You know, it was, we got what we got. You know, it was kind of like, hello. And we wouldn't give them up for the world. But God designed you. He chose you. He said, I want a Bob. I want not just any Bob, but I want this Bob. I want Ross. I want Annette. I want Shelley. He designed us and picked each one. So that's what I want. Because He wanted us to be part of His family. Adopted as sons and daughters. To inherit the kingdom. That's our purpose, to be part of His family. To be a member of God's family. Our third purpose is to be a model of God's character. How do we model God's character? Well, when we become a member of God's family, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. It's set us aside. And then the Holy Spirit comes working in us and makes us more and more into the image of Christ. We become conformed into that image. Not cookie cutter images. But images that reflect another person. If you look at me, you will see my Father. Both my heavenly Father and my earthly Father. But let's just look at the earthly Father now for the illustration. There are actions that I mannerisms, phrases that I use, things that I do that are my dad. Sometimes I'm going to say, "Oh my goodness, I'm my Father. I have become my Father." Anybody have that thought ever? I have become my mother. I have become my Father. Yes. Well, how did we get conformed to that image? You know, how did I become like my dad? I spent time with him. I lived with the man for 20 years. You hang around with somebody that much, you know, you become a little bit like him. God's purpose is to conform us into His image. Why? So that we can be a model of His character to the rest of the world. Say, this is what I look like. You see, you just can't download a picture of God. You go online, do a Google search, and you know what? There is no photograph of God. It's not there. People have drawn artist's rendition. This is what I think God looks like, you know. You know. Some think He looks like, you know, George Burns. Anybody see a movie, Old God? You know, little old guy coming out with the cigar. Yeah, that's God. I don't know. Morgan Freeman was God in Almighty Bruce. I actually like that title of the movie anyways. It wasn't bad. But what does God look like? He looks like His children. You want to see me? Look at my sons. What do they act like? What do they do? I'll tell you a lot about who I am. That's a scary thought. I really need to be a better father. Luckily, my Father in Heaven is a better father. Jason, just one of the proudest things I've moments I had was quietly in Donna's office yesterday reading a letter that Jason had written us, and he said that he signed up to be he's a lay leader helping others with ministry questions in boot camp. Yeah. That's God's purpose. That's God's purpose, that we would model His character. Fourth purpose here, that we would be minister of God's grace. You see, if you are modeling God's character, you have to minister God's grace. These purposes all kind of flow. You notice one into the other. The one requires the next. As we look here at ministering of God's grace. First off, remember what is grace? It's an undeserved gift, an undeserved favor. It's something that you didn't earn. Okay? If you come and you work for me, and I pay you money, that's not grace. That's not a gift. You earned it. But salvation, people, is a gift. It's God's grace. Because each and every one of us is a sinner. Each and every one of us has broken God's heart. Yet, He still gives us His blessing. And God's purpose is that you and I would each be distributors of that blessing. The phrase that you've heard from back in the 60s was, be Jesus with skin on. Now, anybody ever hear that one growing up? Or, you know, the Jesus people movie? That was one of their phrases, if I didn't attribute it to the wrong group. But be Jesus with skin on. You know, somebody who gives a hug, somebody who goes out and ministers and serves. Rick Warren, he came up with a little acronym called SHAPE. I don't have a slide for you for that, but if you read the book, SHAPE. S is spiritual gifts. H is your heart. A is ability. P is your personality. E is your experience. You are to minister God's grace out of your shape. How did God shape you? He gave you a spiritual gift. Rachel was just all excited last week when she found out that her gift is evangelism. We all said, duh. But nobody told her. Well, sometimes we need to tell people what their gifts are. How do you know what your gifts are? Try them out. If you've never tried to sing a song or play an instrument, you won't know if you've got a gift in that area. Try it. You experiment with the gifts. You try it. Because the second aspect is heart. It's the willing heart. What is your heart for these people? What's your heart towards God? I'm willing to do whatever God wants. Well, try it. Some stuff you say, okay, I tried it. I don't think God wants me doing that. How do you know whether you're a good teacher or not? Have you ever taught? How do you know whether God has spiritually gifted you, supernaturally gifted you for teaching? Some people have the ability, special, which is a little bit farther down, that's the A. But everybody has a gift. But what's your heart? Are you willing to just try, just go? Is your heart after God? See, God isn't so much concerned about what we do as why. You know, are you doing something really big and important, like standing up here preaching with the voice that sounds that you've come from? I don't have one of those natural voices. But you've sometimes heard people who get up, you know, they sound like this when they get up here, but then they get behind the pulpit and it's, thus speaketh the Lord. You know, I'm like, Lord, is that a gift? No, I don't think so, but people trying things, their heart's in the right place. Getting on a rabbit trail there, aren't I? Okay, I'll back off of that. But what's your heart? Where's your ability? It doesn't take a whole lot of ability. In the book it says to pick up after dinner. Anybody can pick up plates, or most people. Picking up trash, doing this. But it's an ability that you have. Are you willing to use each and every one ability that you have for God's glory? Your personality. Eva is probably one of our most outgoing people here. Anybody dispute me on that one? When you think of Eva, you think of bubbly and outgoing. She's just going to say hi. You know, Ryan is another one who's very outgoing. You know, I tell people, you know, you put Ryan in a room with a lamppost, he'll talk to it. He gets to know everybody. He goes somewhere, he meets everybody. Everybody knows Ryan. Eva's kind of the same way. Mike, he's little more quieter. You know, he's been going to church here, what, 20 years? What, was it close to that anyways, or what? 14. Okay. Been going to church 14 years, and, you know, Mike? He's quiet. He's not right out there in your face, but he's very kind and generous, and God made Eva, gave her personality and gave Mike his personality. Some people say, you know, Eva's great and wonderful, but I just can only take so much Eva. And other people say, you know, Mike just speaks and he's quiet, he's calm. You know, I need to be around people like that who just have that sense of peace. And don't get me all excited. You know, I don't get nervous around him. And he made us each, because sometimes I need a little Eva, sometimes I need a little Mike. Each gave us our personality. We're supposed to minister out of that personality. Eva, don't you ever try to be like Mike. That's not who you're supposed to be. Mike, you're not supposed to be Eva. And Mike said, no problem. Don't try to be me. Be you. God made you intentionally. Remember we went over that earlier? He gave you your personality so that you could minister to those whom you come in contact with as you. Because there are people who only you can minister to in that way that, you know, I might be able to come and pray for somebody one way, but, you know, Peggy can do it another way, and Phyllis can do it another, and George can do it another, and, you know, just I can go through the list. And you know what? I've been there and had everybody standing around me praying, but it was one person and just the way they prayed that just, yes, God was speaking to me through them. God ministered to me that way right then. God made us each one with their own personality, so we could do that. Experience. What is the best thing that ever happened to you? The way God has blessed you the most, God's going to use that. What is the worst thing that has ever happened to you? That deepest, darkest secret that you are most ashamed of? God's going to use that to help you minister to others, if you let Him. Some of the things I've done, some of the things I've gone through, have helped me to minister to some people. What you've gone through in your life will allow you to minister to people. Again, each of us have different experiences, good, bad, and everywhere in between. And God uses those to sharpen us so that we can be a minister of God's grace. We can take all this and use it. His purpose is not that we would take all these gifts that He has, all these abilities that He gives us, all these things, and keep them to ourselves, but that we would pour them out in love to the world, to all those around us. Remember, again, the definition of grace is undeserved blessing. So if we're giving of God's grace, that means we're not giving it to people who deserve it. Okay? If you're nice to me and I smile and give you a hug, that isn't being gracious on my part. That's just me giving a fair trade. You were nice to me, I was nice back to you. But a giving of God's grace would be, you know what, I'm a turd to you and you turn around and just love me. You know, that's how come I'm so blessed is... You guys just loved me all last week, and I know what kind of pastor I truly am. At least in some ways. So, as somebody called that self-defecating humor instead of, and I probably shouldn't be doing that. Self-depreciating humor, but okay. Anyhow, let's move on to our fifth purpose. That we are to be messenger of God's good news. What's the good news? We have the symbols of it on the table in front of me here. That there is salvation through Christ Jesus. That Jesus died so that we don't have to spend eternity separated from God, but that we can be with Him forever. Forever is such a short word for such a long time. For something of such huge proportions and magnitude. We are supposed to be messengers of that good news. That's the Great Commission. The Jerusalem, that's here, right here within our own church, our own families. We're supposed to be taking God's message even to each other. We're supposed to be constantly caring. God loves you. God loves you so much He sent His Son to die for you, to cover you with His blood so that you can be washed clean. We're supposed to take it to Judea. What's a Judea? That's the surrounding country, those people who live around us, our own community. We're supposed to take it there. When we go to work, when we shop, we're supposed to be sharing God's love, the good news that there is indeed salvation. Samaria, those are the people we don't like. I know none of you are like this, but there are actually some people I don't like. I don't get along with. If I never saw them, wouldn't hurt my feelings. There's some types of people that are like this. Some people groups that maybe might have some bad feelings towards or whatever. I say, whoa. God wants me to take His love to them. And to the ends of the earth. God wants us to be part of that. It's all supposed to be going on at the same time. Now we do our part through taking those opportunities which God gives us. Some He calls to go overseas directly. Some He calls to pray and to give for those overseas. But we all run into those groups of people whom we don't like. Those Samaritans, if you would. Or to act lovingly to them. And we all run into people in our area, unless we just go in our house and lock our door. And we're all here. So God's purpose is that we would be messengers of His good news. Last slide. Many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Jesus prevailed upon the cross. That's the good news. He defeated sin and death. That's the empty tomb. That is the basis of our hope. That is the good news. That yes, indeed, the blind see, the lame walk, the captives are set free. We don't have to be captive to sin. And the world's not supposed to be captive. Because God has given us a purpose. And that purpose is victory in Jesus. I'm going to sing that song right now, but we're going to go to the communion table. Butch, George, Ed, Mike, you guys come forward. We're going to receive communion this morning, as we do.